All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we are Baruch Hashem Zachinu to begin the third parak of Maseches Zvachim. Just by way of a bit of introduction. So not up until now, but for the last parak, we were focusing much more on issues concerning psulim within the avoda itself. Issues which, again, in the last couple of Mishnayos, focusing specifically on machshavas. Literally, again, and this is one of perhaps the most unique aspects of karbanos, but the ability, thank you for the coffee, Baruch Hashem, the ability for a machshava, for an erroneous mindset, to go ahead and compromise the effectiveness and kashrus of the karban. So whereas we were focusing beforehand on issues or disqualifications in the karban itself, now in this part we're going to transition a little bit and focus a bit more onto disqualifications or psulim in individuals who themselves are performing the avoda. So with that, let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Beis. We are picking up at the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Kol ha-psulim she-shachdu shchitas an k'shera. We'll say anyone who is pasul, anyone who is him or herself invalidated. Again, we're going to define these terms. Anyone who is pasul, who did shchita, who did karbanic shchita, shchitas an k'shera. So we'll say again, this is a halacha that we are all familiar with, that although all parts of avoda must be done by a kohen, the halacha is that shchita is k'shera bizar. The halacha is that shchita can be done even with a non-kohen. So anyone who is quote-unquote pasul, if they did the shchita is kasher. Why is shchita k'shera bizarim? Because shchita of a karban is kasher, even if done by non-kohanim, u'b'nashim, or if done by women, u'b'avadim, or with avadim, u'b'tmeim, and even with someone who is tamei. V'afilu b'kachek adoshim. And I will say, interestingly enough, the halacha is that this is true even if we are focusing on over here of Kachi Kadoshim, which are higher sanctity karbanos. Rashi points out over here as follows, Ubitmeyim, Bitame Sheretz Ka'amar, Shinomatame Kli, the Lav Avatumahu, O Bitame Meskigon Shebada Kromishal Khan. So we'll say, Rashi just pointing out over here, when we speak about Tmeyim, we're going to have to define what type of Tuma we are referring to. So we'll get to that in the Gemara. But point being is, everyone is kasher for shchita of a karban. Everyone is kasher for shchita of a karban. Even tmeim ubilvad shelo yutmeim no gimabasar. We'll say now. However, there is one caveat that if the person shechting the karban is a tamei, that the halacha is we don't want the tamei touching the sacrificial meat. Now, remember again, understand what is this referring to? If a tamei touches a live animal, so obviously a live animal is not makabel tuma. What we are concerned about over here is if someone who is tamei is shechting the animal, and then after shchita he touches the meat, that's when there could be a potential concern of conveying tuma ultimately to sacrificial meat. So the Mishnah gives the caveat. As much as a tamei is permitted to go ahead and what? Is permitted to go ahead and shecht, but he has to be careful and vigilant not to touch the sacrificial meat after shchita. Lefichach. Therefore, again, I will say now what this means is lefichach. Now that we've established that everyone is pretty much kosher to go ahead and shech the karban, lefichach hein psulin poslin b'machshava. So we'll say, remember again, these two concepts go hand in hand. If you are kosher to do an avoda, that means that what? That if you have an invalidating thought during that avoda, then what happens? That could passel the karban. So therefore, in this particular case, what the Mishnah is saying is as follows. Once all of these individuals are kosher to do the shchita, if they have some type of invalidating machshava during the shchita, that would in fact invalidate the karban. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Last Rashi on the daf, l'pichachin psulin, in poslin, excuse me, es hakarban machshava. Therefore, again, any of these individuals who are kosher to go ahead and do the shchita, if they have an invalidating mindset, a pasul mindset, during the shchita, they can invalidate the karban. So the Gemara says, Rashi says, im shachtua b'machshava hoil ureuyin la'avodazu machshavatan machshav. So this is really, on one hand, this is a fascinating halacha. On the other hand, it's a pretty straightforward halacha. On one hand, it's fascinating. Why? Because you could have a situation where someone who is a non-kohen is going ahead and invalidating a karban through a wrongful, through a pasul machshava. On the other hand, it's not a chiddush. Why? Because once you are permitted to engage in a particular type of sacrificial service, then by definition you have the ability to passel it with an erroneous mindset. Top of Lamed Beis. V'kulon shekiblu es hadam. And I will say, any of these individuals, Rashi says, v'kulon is hapsulin. Any of these psulin, any of these people who are apostle, who did Kabbalah, who received the blood, chutz lizmano, v'chutz limkomo, and I will say they received the blood with a kavana ultimately again to do some part of the service outside of the correct time, which would be pigul, or outside of the correct place. This is a progression. Mishnah tells me at first that what? Everyone is kosher to go ahead and do shechita. Okay, now really, so that license ends at which point in time? At shechita. So now what happens? Let's say these same individuals went ahead and did Kabbalah. They went ahead and they received the Dem HaNefesh, the blood spurting from the neck of the animal. They went ahead and they received it in the Kli. That is the Avodah of Kabbalah. And I will say, now what happened? Not only did they go ahead and they do Kabbalah, but what? They had a wrong mindset when doing Kabbalah. So I'll say, what's the halacha? So what do we do now? This is actually quite interesting. So the Gemara says, Em Yesh Dem HaNefesh, Yachzur HaKosher V'yikabel. So the Mishnah says as follows. Well, if there is still more Dam HaNefesh, if there is still more lifeblood, so if there is still more blood spurting out of the animal, then don't worry. All we need is what? A bona fide Kohen to come along and once again receive the blood for the sake of doing the Avodah. So this is actually quite interesting. What the Mishnah is saying is as follows. The fact that a apostle went ahead and did Kabbalah, Rabosai, does not invalidate the Avodah. It's actually quite interesting. So even though, again, I'm a Zar, so I'm permitted to do the Shechita. I did the Shechita. I did such a good job with the Shechita. I said, hey, I can do this. Let me do the Kabbalah also. Only one problem is I'm not allowed to do that. So fine, but I did it. Not only did I do it, I had a wrong mindset. So we'll say, what does the Mishnah say? It's okay. As long as there's more Dam HaNefesh, let a Kohen, a Kasher Kohen come along and do the appropriate Kabbalah and remedy that which I did. So the incredible Chiddush over here is my involvement in an Avodah that I am not allowed to be involved with does not passel the carbon. As long as there's more Dam HaNefesh, so all I need is a Kohen to come along, do the Avodah, and we are good. Look at Rashi just a moment. Yimish Dam HaNefesh, Od Bebehema, Yachzur HaKosher V'yikabel V'yizrok HaKosher She'in Machshavton Shel Eilu Posaltan B'Kabbalah Lefi She'in Ru'uyin La Ve'in Machshava Posalas Ela B'misha Ro'i La'avoda V'chsiv HaMakriv Oso Lo Yechashiv Parai Lakrav HaKosim Udabar. So we'll say, there's a very simple calculation here, says Rashi. Rashi says, the only time that machshava is posel is when you are ra'i to do the avodah. But if you are not ra'i to do the avodah, then your erroneous mindset in no way compromises anything. That's it. I will say, I, a non-kohen, if I have an erroneous mindset by shechita, I can compromise the avodah. If I have an erroneous mindset by kabbalah, I cannot because I'm not ra'i for the avodah. Now again, obviously, my Kabbalah is meaningless, so if there has to be a proper Kabbalah, so I need a coin to go back, get more Dam HaNefesh, if there is some, and do the Kabbalah again. And of course, the inference is what? What if there's no more Dam HaNefesh? Then what? Then we're done. Unfortunately, again, then the carbon will be pasul if there's no more Dam HaNefesh. So the Gemara goes weiter. Kibbal HaKasha V'nasan L'pasul, Yachzir L'Kasha. Similarly, I will say, let's say a coin does the Kabbalah, so proper Kohen does the Kabbalah, but then he goes ahead and he hands off the blood to apostle. Don't ask why, he just does it. So I say, so the Kohen, he says to apostle, hold this for me. So I say, so what's the halacha? As long as the apostle gives it back to the Kohen, ultimately again the avodah will be kosher. We'll see the novelty in each of these rulings, but again, the novelty over here is that even though you had a pasul kind of intervene in the avodah, it doesn't pasul the avodah. We just need the pasul ultimately to give it back to the kosher. Kibel biyamino, similarly, what happens if the Kohen does Kabbalah in his right hand, which is appropriate? The nasan the smolo, and then he puts it in his left hand. In other words, he takes the utensil that he received the blood in, he puts it in his left hand, then what's the halacha? Yachzir liyamino. He has to put it back in his right hand. Kibel b'kli kodesh v'nasa b'kli kodesh. Similarly, Yenabal said, let's say the Kohen did Kabbalah in a klisharis, in a sanctified utensil. Then he transferred the contents of that utensil into a klichol, into an unconsecrated utensil. So what's the halacha? Yachzir le klichodesh. You have to return the blood back to the klichodesh. So we'll say, again, the novelty over here is I would have thought that if you interrupt the avodah in any way with some quote-unquote a non-kosher step, so that halacha l'maaseh, that would invalidate the avodah. The Mishnah is teaching that's not the case. As long as you can remedy that which you have done, you're good to go. Similarly, nishpach minakli ala ritzba va'asva, let's say the Kohen did kabbalah. Now what happens? He's doing holacha. He's going in and transporting the blood to the mizbeach, and then what happens? He trips and he spills the blood. So what's the halacha? Va'asvo, and he was able to regather it back up. Kosher. We'll say the halacha is, however you're regathering blood, we'll discuss. So again, the avoda will still be kosher. Nasna. We'll say, so this actually, this case we saw before. Nasna agabi akevesh shelo kineged hayisod. We'll say, remember again, blood applications are done on the mizbeach. Now the truth is, more often than not, they are done on the side of the mizbeach. The only variable is, are they done above the sikra, the red line, below the sikra, below the red line? Let's say in this case over here, the individual, the Kohen, placed the blood on the ramp of the mizbeach. Now I'm saying there is no such thing as a blood application that's done on the ramp. This is a mistake. So he went ahead and he applied it on the ramp, shelo kineged hayisod, not opposite the base. So we'll say, we'll get into this also in this parak, that the idea over here is on the side of the mizbeach, there was like a protrusion, like a trim. And we'll say that they called that the base. So what happens if they went ahead and the coin put it on the side of the mizbeach, but ultimately, again, not opposite the base? Or nasanes hanitanin lamata lamala. Or Abosai, you went ahead and you took blood applications that were supposed to be done below the line and you placed it above the line. Ve'es hanitanin lamala lamata. Or you took those things that are placed below the line, excuse me, above the line, and you placed them below the line. Or ve'es hanitanin bifnim bochutz. Or Rabbi say you took blood that was supposed to be sprinkled inside the Beis HaMikdash and you sprinkled it outside. Ve'es hanitanin bochutz bifnim. Or if you were to go ahead and sprinkle the blood that was supposed to be outside, you did it inside. So we'll say, in all of these cases, what's the common denominator? You did a wrong zrika, right? You did an erroneous zrika. You messed up on the zrika. So what do you do in this case? Not a problem. So we'll say, good news is, where there is more blood, there is more possibilities, right? So the halacha is, as long as there is more dam hanefesh, so not a problem, we just simply go back, get more blood, and do another zurika. Okay, good, beautiful. So we'll say, so bottom line, takeaway messages from the Mishnah, shechita is kasha by everyone, because it's kasha by everyone. If anyone has an erroneous mindset by shechita, they could invalidate the shechita, the carbon. But I'll say, if halacha lemaisa, again, the zar, or the apostle, went ahead and did kabbalah, so again, obviously, that is illegal, but the way to remedy it is, if there's more blood, it goes back and does the kabbalah again. Anytime, ultimately, again, you intervene in the carbonic process with someone, with a non-kosher step, all the Kohen needs to do is redo the step, and ultimately, again, the carbon will be kosher. If Zrika was done in an erroneous fashion, as long as there is more Dam HaNefesh, we can redo the Zrika. Good. So we'll say the Gemara now is going to focus on the first statement in the Mishnah. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Kol ha-psulin she-shachtu shechitasen k'sheira. Anyone who is a pasul, they will say, in this case, pasul means anyone who is not fit for avoda. So anyone who is a pasul who did shechita, ultimately, again, their shechita is kasher. I will say, now, the lashon of sheshachto means what? That they did shechita, which the Gemara infers to mean shachto dieverin lechatchila lo. They will say, the word shachto means that anyone who is pasul who shechted, if they did the shechita ex post facto, then what? The shechita is good. I will say, what do you see from here? You see from here that is only bidi eved. Lechatchila, ultimately, again, we would not want one of the psulim ultimately to go ahead and do shechita. So the Gemara says, or minu. So we'll say, so this is a very important yisod. The Gemara is inferring over here, the Lashon of Sheshachtu means they did Shechita. Whenever the Mishnah phrases a halacha as something that has already been done, so generally what that means is, we're okay that it's done b'di'eved, but l'chatchila, we're not so happy that it was done this way. So what you're telling me is, that if Shechita was done by a pasul, b'di'eved it is kosher, but l'chatchila, we would rather have a kohen do the Shechita. The Gemara says, is that true? Is that true? I thought that even l'chatchila a non-kohen could do shechita. To which the Gemara says, "Where minhu?" So Gemara is going to challenge this. V'shachat. So we'll say the pasuk says, "V'shachat as ben abakar lefnei Hashem v'hikrivu bnei Aaron hakohanim es adam v'zarku es adam l'mizbeach saviv." So the pasuk says, "V'shachat he shall shecht it shechita b'zark sheira." Ultimately, again, a shechita. Shechita. We'll say have a karbon. Is kosher even with a non-kohen. Shashchita k'shera b'zarim, u'b'noshim, u'b'avadim, u'b'tmeim, v'afilu b'kodshe kadoshim. Because the Rebbe said the way we paskin is how that shechita is kosher with a non-kohen, not only just with a non-kohen, Rebbe said, but even again with women and with avodim and with tmeim and even kodshe kadoshim. In other words, everyone is kosher to go ahead and do shechita. So the Gemara says, this price is quoting this idea. L'chatchila. I want to point out, what the Gemara is focusing on over here is that the Torah makes no mention of a kohen by shechita. As we're going to see in just a moment, the kohen is really mentioned only in conjunction with the process of Kabbalah and on. When it comes to shechita, there is just a generic term of v'shachat. What we're learning out from that is, everyone is kasher b'shechita. Oh, I know Ella bekohanim amrit. Or maybe you'll say no. Then maybe the obligation of shechita, or I should say the concept of shechita, is also only by kohanim. V'chime ayin basa. Now, why would you say that? What would make you say that ultimately again shechita could only be done by kohanim? So the Gemara says Michlal shene emar. So we'll say the fact that the pasuk says, the Shbaruch Hu says to Aaron, "Va'ato ubanecha itcha, you and your sons with you, tishmeru es kunaschem l'chol devar hamizbeach." So we'll say, Shbaruch Hu says to Aaron and his sons, or she says to Aaron, "You and your sons shall guard the covenant of the kuhuna l'chol devar hamizbeach for everything to do with the mizbeach." I might have thought what yochol af b'shechita. I might have thought maybe that also refers to shechita as well. In other words, maybe that's mamish everything. Talmud lomar v'shachat es ben habakar lifnei Hashem v'ikrivo. So we'll say ultimately, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says v'shachat es ben habakar lifnei Hashem. The pasuk says he shall shecht the ben habakar, the calf, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ikrivo, and then it shall be offered. Mikabala ve'ilach mitzvah bikuna mitzvah. Mitzvahs kuhuna. So we'll say, again, as I mentioned before, the way the pasuk reads is as follows. V'shachat es ben abakar lefnei Hashem, v'ikrivo b'nei Aaron hakohanim es hadam, v'zarko es hadam al hamizbeach. So we'll say, amazingly enough, the pasuk really only mentions kuhuna in conjunction with Kabbalah and on, which teaches you that when do you need a kohen? From Kabbalah. If I only need a kohen from Kabbalah, then what does that by definition tell me? That shechita is kshera bizar. Mi Kabbalah ve'elech mitzas kohuna. So we'll say ultimately again, it is only from Kabbalah and on that you need a kohen. Limit ala shechita shekshera b'chol adam. Ultimately again, you learn that shechita is kasher by all people. Shabbos, I see here, by the way, this is the limud. This is the source to teach me that shechita is kshera even bizarre, even with a non-coin. But I will say, not only is it kasher by a non-coin, but it sounds like what? It's kasher even what? L'chatchila. Right? L'chatchila it's even kasher. It's not like a b'di'eved. This l'chatchila is kasher, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Who at Shabbos, I remember again, this is problematic, because the Mishnah uses the lashon of kolapsulin sheshachtu. Sheshachtu means ex post facto. They shechted, which sounds like it's kasher b'diav ben halachatchila. To which the Gemara says, "You're right." Who adin dafi luchatchila nami? In reality, a zar is even permitted to go ahead and shech luchatchila. So says the Gemara, umishum de kabayle misna tmeim. They will say the only reason that the Mishnah employs a bidi eved lashon by a zar's shechita is why? Because we need to bring in the case of tameim. We'll say the case of tameim is the case ultimately again where someone who is tamei is shechting the karban. So we'll say, remember, what was the halacha by someone who is tamei? So the lechatchila lo. A tamei rabosai, again, ideally, lechatchila, we do not want the tamei to go ahead and shech the karban. Why don't we want the tamei to shech the karban? L'gzeira shema yigu babasar. Ultimately, out of concern that the tamei is going to touch the meat, therefore, tana sheshachtu. So we'll say, this is amazing. What the Mishnah is saying is as follows. The Mishnah is teaching me that lechatchila, psulin are permitted to go ahead and shecht. So lechatchila, shechita kshev. So what I want to say is an incredible halacha. What the Gemara is teaching me is, even lechatchila, there's no like hiddur mitzvah to go ahead and get a coin for shechita. Now again, historically, I don't know how it happened. I don't know if more often than not the shechita was just done by the coin because they were around. They don't know. But lechatchila, we paskin that shechita is kshera bizar. If it's lechatchila, then why does the Mishnah use the Lashon of Sheshachtu, which is Lashon of Bidiyeved, to which the Gemara answers what? The really we have to use Lashon of Bidiyeved because of the Tamei. Lechatchila, we would rather the Tamei not Shecht. Why would we rather the Tamei not Shecht? What's wrong with the Tamei Shechting? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with the Tamei Shechting. The issue is not a Shechita. The issue is what? A concern that after the Shechita, he may come and touch the sacrificial meat. And if after the Shechita he touches the sacrificial meat, that will be a problem for us. So because lechatchila, we don't want the Tamei Shechting, we use a Lashon of Bidiyeved by all of the Psulim. But in fact, by all of the Psulim, lechatchila, they are permitted to Shecht, it's just the Tamei Yushan lechatchila Shecht. The Tamei Bidiyeved Shapir Dami, is that true that a Tamei Bidiyeved, it's okay if he Shechted, or Minhu? But let's ask the following kasha, v'samach v'shachat. So we'll say, now we're assuming that even a tamei lechatchila should shecht, but b'di'eved can shecht. Now the Gemara is questioning that assertion as well. Are we really okay with a tamei shechting even b'di'eved? Let's raise a kasha. We'll say, first wide line, lamed beiz medalef, or minhu, v'samach v'shachat. We'll say, the pasuk speaks about smicha and shechita. Smicha means leaning on the animal. We'll discuss this. Masmicha b'tohorim, af shechita b'tohorim. We'll say, just like smicha has to be done only with someone who is tahar, ultimately what? Ultimately, shechita can only be done by someone who is tahar as well. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even b'di'eved, a tamei cannot go ahead and shecht. To which the Gemara answers, midrabanan. That halacha, I will say, that ideally we only want someone who is tahar to shecht, that is a din d'rabbanan. Midar ha'isa, a tamei is absolutely fit to go ahead and shecht the sacrificial animal. Midrabbanan, we say that we would rather not have a tamei, lest he come to go ahead and touch the sacrificial meat. So says the Gemara, let's back up a second. Maishno smicha, we'll say, from where do you know that smicha ultimately, again, requires the person who's doing the smicha to be tar? In other words, we'll say, where do we see that concept from? So now watch this. Dichsiv lifnei Hashem. So we'll say, ultimately, again, there's a very simple reason. Because by smicha, the pasuk says, lifnei Hashem, that it has to be done before God. Now we'll say, now Rashi actually over here on this piece is on Amud Beis. So if you look at the Divrei HaMaskil, right there, dichsiv lifnei Hashem. We'll say, turn to Amud Beis for just a moment. V'shachat es v'rabakar tap Rashi, lifnei Hashem. The chivon debainan take off the smicha shchita, ein smicha mi bachutz ushchita mi bifnim, ela apa smicha bifnim vein tamei nichnas ba'azara. So we'll say the Gemara says something very interesting. How do I know that for smicha could only be done by a tahar? So this seems to be a very utilitarian reason. Pasuk says that smicha has to be done lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, Rabbi says, we assume means what? Inside the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. You can only come into the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash if what? If you are tahar. Therefore, by definition, someone who is tamei cannot go ahead and do smicha. To which the Gemara says, "I shchit." Back to the Gemara. Four lines up from the bottom. Shchit anami haksiv lifnei Hashem. So we'll say, but smicha also says it has to be done lifnei Hashem, which would seem to indicate that what? That lamaisa, again, you can only be tar to do shchita as well. Efshar da'avit sakin aruka. V'shachit. So we'll say, no, you could do shchita, even if you're tamei. How can you do shechita even if you're tamei? We'll say a long knife. even if you can't stand inside the Azara, right? Even if you can't stand inside the courtyard because you are Tameh, so Lemaisa, again, what? You could shecht with a long knife. That Rabbi Yossi would allow you to do shechit of an animal that is standing in the Azara, even though what? You are Tameh and standing on the outside. Smicha nami afshar dema'ayo yodei samich. But I can say something by Smicha. If I'm Tameh, I could stand outside the Azara, just put my hands into the Azara, rest my hands on the head of the animal, do smicha like that, to which the Gemara says, kasavar bia b'miktsas, shma bia. Rabbi said, the Tana over here holds that any type of entry into the Azara, even if it's not a full body entry, is still considered to be entry into the Azara. So Rabbi said, the act of putting my hands into the Azara, even if what? Even if my body is outside, is still a problematic entry into the Azara. Rav Chisna Masne Ibcha. We'll say Rav Chisna has the opposite exchange, or the opposite version of this. He says like this, V'samach v'shachas. We'll say his limud goes in the reverse direction. So the Pasuk equates smicha and shchita, mashchita v'tahorin, just like shchita, we'll say, can only be done by someone who is tahor, af smicha v'tahorin. So to smicha can only be done by someone who is tahor as well. But I don't understand Maishna Shchita. How do I know that Shchita can only be done by someone who is Tahar? Dichsiv Lifnei Hashem. Because the Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem. The way we're interpreting Lifnei Hashem is what? Is something that must be done in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The only way to enter into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash is if what Rabbi say? If you are Tahar. Shchita has to be done Lifnei Hashem. So Smich Amud Beis Rabbi say, Smich Anami Ksiv Lifnei Hashem. But one second, by Smicha it also says that it has to be done with Fnei Hashem, which also indicates to me that what? That smicha could also only be done by someone who is tahar. Well, smicha is different. Why? Efshar de ma'ayil yodei v'samich. Well, say smicha, it's possible that although you can't enter with your body into the Azara, what can you do? You can put your hands into the Azara and that's fine. Shchita nami efshar de avit sakin arucha v'shachit. So Rabbi say, I could also do shchita. I could do shchita. How could I do shchita, Rabbi say? Even if I'm Tameh, I stand on the outside, get a nice long knife, and do shchita like that. To which the Gemara says, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Shimon hatemanihi. Rabbi say, this reflects the opinion of Shimon hatemanihi. What does Shimon hatemanihi say? Disanya v'shachat es ben avakar lifnei Hashem. The pasuk says, you shall shecht the calf in front of God, v'lo hashochet lifnei Hashem. So we'll say the Rabban on the Tanakhama Darshins, that what's the only thing that has to be done with Lifnei Hashem? The actual Shechita. But who doesn't have to be with Lifnei Hashem? The Shochet doesn't have to be with Lifnei Hashem. We'll say, what does it mean the Shochet doesn't have to be with Lifnei Hashem? The Shochet does not have to be in the Azara, which means that if the Shochet wants to stand outside of the Azara, and what? Utilize a long knife to go out and do the Shechita, that such a carbon will be kosher. So Shimon HaTeimani Omer. So we'll say, so first of all, again, you're beginning to see, I just want to point out, even though we just said before in our Mishnah, that someone who is Tameh has the ability to go out and do Shechita, if you notice again, we did not discuss the mechanism through which that occurs. Remember again, Shechita in a normal situation is not a normal situation. Shechita is happening inside the Beis HaMikdash. Someone who is Tameh can't enter into the Beis HaMikdash. That's why if you'll notice again, and we're going to put all these pieces together, but Rashi pointed out that Dafka, the Tumah we're talking about over here is Tumas Sheretz, which is a lower form of Tumah. Again, we'll get back to this, but I will say the point over here is as follows. We're now beginning to see that this is a much bigger machlokas, right? And the bigger machlokas is the definition of Lifnei Hashem. Who does the Lifnei Hashem go on? Does the Lifnei Hashem go on the carbon? That the carbon has to be inside the Beis HaMikdash, but that Shochet does not? Or does it go on the Shochet himself? So Shimon HaTeimani clearly said that what? Shimon HaTeimani Omer, Minayin Shu Yadav Shal Shochet Lifnei Min HaNishchat. How do we know, literally, that the hands of the Shochet have to be in front of the Nishchat, in front of the carbon? Which I will say is another way of saying, how do I know that the Shochet himself has to be inside the Beis HaMikdash? Talmud Lomar, V'shachat es ben abakar lifnei Hashem. The Pasuk says, he shall shecht the ben bakar lifnei Hashem, Shochet es ben habakar yeh lifnei Hashem. So we'll say, Shimon HaTeimani is of the opinion that what? The Shochet must be inside the Beis HaMikdash. You have to shochet inside the Ezer, inside the courtyard. If the shochet has to be inside the Beis HaMikdash, what does that by definition tell you? That he must be tar, that he can't be tamei. That someone who is tamei cannot engage in the shechita. Amru ula amar Reish Lakish. Tamei shehichnis yadolatim. So now what we have over here is as follows. Now what we have over here is a machlokes about the ability of someone who is tamei to be a shochet. The Mishnah told me I can. Presumably the way that happens is with sakin aruka, a long knife. Shimon HaTeimon, he says no. A shochet must be lifnei Hashem. A shochet must be inside the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore if the shochet ultimately again is tamei, he cannot do the shechita. So I say, remember, so if the shochet is tamei, apparently there are two ways technically he could pull off the shechita. One is sakin aruka, a long knife. The other, I will say, is the possibility of ultimately just putting his hands inside with his body staying outside. So we saw that, at least according to some, the prohibition of a tamei to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi says, is with his body. But if he just goes ahead and inserts his hands inside, it could be that that would not be a violation of a tamei entering into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, along those same lines, the Gemara jumps on that. Amru ulam reish lakish, tamei shehichnis yado, or yadav, lifnim, a tamei who inserts his hands into the area of the Beis HaMikdash, loke, gets malkis, shene emar, b'chol kodesh lo siga. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says, he shall not touch any kodesh, referring to a tamei. Makish bia l'negia. But say, ultimately, again, what the rest of the pasuk is, b'chol kodesh lo siga, ve'el ha-mikdash lo yavo. So we'll say, the Torah equates touching with entering. How so? So makish bia l'negia, manegia b'mitzas, shmanegia, we'll say, just as ultimately, again, even a little bit of touching, so to speak, constitutes touching. In other words, even if the person is tamei just touches the kodesh with one finger, that's called an act of touching. Af bia b'miktas shma bia. So to what Rabbi say, entering, even just a little bit of entering, is called entering. So therefore, even just inserting one's hands into the kodesh, ultimately, again, is considered to be a violation, ultimately, of a tamei entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So now what we're saying is as follows. According to Ula, a tamei is not permitted even to insert his hands into the Beis HaMikdash, because essentially what we call is a bia b'miktas a shmei bia. Any amount of entering, any part of your body that enters the Beis HaMikdash while tamei is considered to be a violation of a tamei entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So now raise the kasha on that. Eisir Ravoshia Lula. Ravoshia raised the kasha. What's the kasha? Bosai. Oh, Mitzora Shechal Shmini Shalalios Bera Pesach. Bosai, now we get into a very interesting case. What about a Mitzora who's 8th day? And Bosai, now the halacha is a Mitzora has an 8-day purification process. On that eighth day, that's when his right thumb and his right toe and his right earlobe are smeared with the oil, right? And that's part of his purification process. Now, mitzora shechal shmini shel aliyos be'erev Pesach. The Bosan, under normal circumstances, let me read it. So mitzora, whose eighth day fell out on Erev Pesach. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Shechal shmini shelo, v'hayu lo hayom likonis lahar abayis, l'chalo shar nikonor, shelo niskadish lahachnis yadav labonos. So we'll say, the case of here is as follows. The Mitzora's 8th day. Now on his 8th day, that's when his purification process occurs. So we'll say, as we're going to see before, the Mitzora has is a little bit of an interesting anomaly. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, so he has to go ahead and he has to come to the Beis HaMikdash for the application of the blood and the oil, yet he's tamei. He's not permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So how do you go, but yet the applications have to be done inside the Beis HaMikdash. So as we'll see, he comes outside to a place called Shar Nikanor, one of the gates called Shar Nikanor, where the entranceway of that gate was never sanctified. So he could stand there. That's called entry into the Beis HaMikdash, but yet he's not entering into the Beis HaMikdash tamei. So we'll say the case over here is, it's the 8th day of the Mitzora's purification process. Under normal circumstances, he would come to Shar Nikanor and he would be purified. But we have a little bit of a bump over here. What's the bump? V'ra'a keri bo bayom. We'll say he has a seminal emission that day, the 8th day. V'tavol, he goes to the mikvah. Now we'll say, now, under normal circumstances, what's the halacha? So a Baal Keri is not permitted to come to the Beis HaMikdash on the day of his emission. He goes to the mikvah, and Harav Shemesh, that night, he is permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's Erev Pesach, which means that if the Metzora doesn't do his purification process that day on the eighth day, and he waits until nightfall, then what? He missed out on the Karban Pesach. So we'll say, so in this case over here, so remember, as a Metzora, he's permitted to come to the Beis HaMikdash on day 8. So everything is going to be fine. He's going to have his Tara as a Metzora, then he's going to do his Karban Pesach. The ripple is, he becomes a Balkari, he goes to the Mikvah. Technically speaking, a Balkari can't come until that night. He can come to this until that evening. What's the problem? That evening already he missed the window for Karban Pesach. So what happens under those circumstances? So it says the Gemara, Amru Chachamim, Afa Pi She'in Tvol Yom Nichnas Zen Nichnas. Even though under normal circumstances, I will say a person who went to the mikvah for his keri emission can't go ahead and come into the Beis HaMikdash. We let this individual come into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Mutav yavo asei sheyesh bokares, v'yitcha asei she'in bokares. For it is better, Abosai, for an asei that has kares associated with it to set aside an asei that doesn't have kares. So we'll say, what's the asei that has kares associated with it? Karban Pesach. Right? The halach is if you fail to perform Karban Pesach, ultimately, again, you are chayiv kares, it's an asei sheyesh bo kares, so better for an asei that has kares, i.e. Karban Pesach, to come and set aside an asei that does not have kares, which Rabbi say is the asei ultimately of Tvul Yom, right? That someone who went to the mikvah, but still requires Herav Shemesh, that he can't come to the Beis HaMikdash, that's the violation of an asei that doesn't have kares. So very simply put, Karban Pesach is going to set aside the asei that prohibits a keri, bal keri, from ultimately coming to the Beis HaMikdash. V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar Dvar Torah, Afilu Asein, but Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? That a Balkari ultimately, again, cannot come to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, that's not even an Asei. That's not a Doraisa. Shene Emar. We'll say, where does the prohibition of a Balkari ultimately go, not coming to the Beis, where does that come from? Shene Emar. Vayamod Yehoshaphat Bekal Yehuda V'Yushalayim B'Beis HaShem Lefnei HaChatzer HaChadosha. We'll say, the pasuk says that Yehoshaphat is standing with Kal Yehuda in Yerushalayim, in the house of Hashem, before the new courtyard. My chatzar hadasha. I'll say, what's the new courtyard? Rabbi Yochanan, bless you. Shechidshu bad dvarim harbe. We'll say it was the place where they were mechadish many new halachas. What's one of the halachas they were mechadish? Va'amru tvul yom al yikanes lemachan elavia. We'll say one of the things they were mechadish was that what a tvul yom, which means someone who went to the mikvah but still requires herav shemesh, the setting of the sun, like a balkari, should not enter into Machan Leviyah. We'll say, what is Machan Leviyah? Machan Leviyah is the Harabayis. It's the Harabayis. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that the prohibition for a Tevul Yom, someone who went to the mikvah but is waiting for nightfall, like a Balkari, to enter into the Harabayis, enter into the Beis HaMikdash, is not even a Doraisa. That's a Dirabanan. So therefore, it goes without saying that what? That if you have this case of the Metzora, who is on his eighth day, but he becomes a Balkari, he went to the mikvah for his Keri, and all he needs to do is come to the Beis HaMikdash to be purified from his Metzora, so he can do the Karban Pesach, it goes without saying that he should be able to come to the Harabayis. V'i amrit bia b'mikdas shma bia. It will say, ultimately, again, if you say that what? If you say that coming into the Beis HaMikdash, we'll say, if you say that any entry into the Beis HaMikdash is problematic, so hechi ma'ayil yadei b'bono. So we'll say, if you say that if you are Tameh, even putting your hands into the Beis HaMikdash is considered to be entering into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah, then what? Then how does the Mitzora go ahead and put his hands? Right? The Mitzora has to insert his right toe, his right thumb. How does he insert that into the Beis HaMikdash ultimately to go ahead and become Tahar? To which the Gemara says, Idi v'idi asei sheyesh bo karesu. Ultimately, again, I don't understand both of these things, meaning the idea of the Mitzora of Karban Pesach, but also of the Mitzora becoming Tahar, both asseis that have Doraisa. Amar lei mitunach. He says, I'll answer you literally from your bundle. Shiny Mitzora, hoil vohutar litzaraso, hutar likirio. So I'll say, ultimately, says the Gemara as follows. That once, essentially, the Gemara answers is like this. A Mitzora has a license. See, I will say, Mitzora might be ultimately the exception to this rule. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the mechanism or the process through which the Mitzorah is purified. So because of that, Rabbi will say, what is the halacha? So the Torah says, Mitzorah, you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to go ahead and insert your right thumb, your right toe. So therefore the Torah says, by Mitzorah, you have to insert parts of your body into the Mikdash. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, once there's a heter for the Mitzorah for a Saras, by definition, ultimately, again, he is permitted to enter the Har HaBayis even if he's a Baal Keri as well. In other words, what the Gemara essentially is answering is, once a more severe form of Tumah ultimately is permitted, then what? A lesser form of Tumah is permitted as well. That seems to be the answer of the Gemara over here. Amar Rabbi Yosef says, well, if that's the case, Kasavar Ula, according to this logic, Rabbi Yosef, so Ula would say as follows. So Rabbi Yosef, remember, I want to point out, Ula is of the opinion that Bia b'mikzah shmei Bia, that ultimately, again, if your tummy, even if you just insert your hands, but your body stays on the outside, that is a violation. That is a violation. The Gemara now is suggesting that Mitzorah is the exception, because the Torah gives the Mitzorah the license to insert part of his body into the Beis HaMikdash, even though he's tummy, in order to become tahor. And once he's permitted to do that as a Mitzorah, then even if he subsequently becomes a Baal Keri, that Keri Tuma is set aside as well. Rav Yosef says, just using that logic, Kasava Ula Ula Masold, Ruban Zavin, if the majority of Klal Yisrael became a Zav, V'na'asu Tmei Mesim, and then they also became Tmei Mesim, Hoyel V'Huchulu Tumason, Huchulu Lizivasan. I will say, we're going to see that the halacha is, that if you have a situation where the majority of Klal Yisrael became Tmei Mes, then what's the halacha? I will say, 51% of the Klal becomes Tmei, then Tuma Huchra B'Tzibor. Then essentially the laws of Tumah are lifted. Rav Yosef wants to say as follows, that using Ula's logic, if let's say the majority of Klal Yisrael became Zavin, then I will say in that case, we would not say that because the majority of Klal Yisrael became Zavin, therefore Tumah Hutshra B'Tzibur, rather let's say they wouldn't do Karban Pesach, but then they become Tmei Mesim. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Hoyel V'Hutshra Tumas and Hutshra Zivasan. Using this logic, you would say, once Tumah Hutshra B'Tzibur for Tumas Meis, then their Tumas Zivos would also be lifted. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, how can you compare that? Me, dummy. Tuma ishtaroi. Ziba lo ishtaroi. We'll say Tuma is Hutshra B'Tzibur. Zivos is not Hutshra B'Tzibur. Again, we'll define these concepts as well. Amar le Dilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe this is what you meant to say. Ruban Tmei Mesim Enasu Zavim. If the majority of Klal Yisrael say were Tmei Mesim and then became Zavim, Hoyel v'Hutshra B'Tumasan, Hutshra Lizivasan. It must be that what? Once their Tumah was Hutter, so too they would go ahead and become, so too their Zivus would be lifted as well. Amar lay in. Ultimately, again, said, yes, that's what I meant to say. I will stop over here for today, but just to understand, we're kind of leaving off in the middle of our discussion over here, which is a dramatic discussion, ultimately regarding partial entry into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. Do we say that the only time there's a prohibition to enter into the Beis HaMikdash is when it's a full body entry, but if your hands just enter, ultimately, again, it's going to be fine? Or do we say, no, Bia B'Mikdash Shmei Bia, even partial entry, ultimately, again, is problematic? The Mitzorah seems to indicate to us that partial entry is permitted, yet again, what we seem to be saying over here is that no, Mitzorah may be the exception, simply because the Torah provides a license for his partial entry, but under normal circumstances, partial entry is problematic. In Meretz Hashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow.